going to pick up where we left off, but we need to kind of go down through here a ways and note some things. The title of our lesson was Learning in the Storm. And let me say to you today, it's best if you can learn from somebody else that's in the storm. I think it's a shame that sometimes God has to take us through the same storm so that we'll learn. And we don't have to do it that way if we learn from somebody else in the storm. So here we find the Apostle Paul, which in my estimation, and it is my estimation, is one of the greatest missionaries that God has ever raised up outside of his son, the Lord Jesus. And the Apostle Paul is in a storm at sea, and he's in a storm not because he didn't serve the Lord, but he's in a storm because he did serve the Lord. And in doing that, he gets in this boat, and God is wanting to teach the people that are with him some things. And so Paul, with these others, go through this storm, but he learns some things in this storm. And if we just kind of look over his shoulder in this portion of Scripture, we too can learn some things. Now remember, the storms that come into our life, if we're a child of God, those storms are orchestrated by the Lord. Nothing can come into my life but what it must pass through the permissive will of God. We need to understand that. And when we understand that, we come to the conclusion, maybe this is for my good, and maybe this is for God's glory. We need to think on that. Well, we're going to go rapidly down through. We're just going to give a highlight of each verse, not even read the verse until we get down here a ways. But in verse number 30, we found that when we sail with the Apostle Paul, we find out that everybody who's in your life is not what they pretend to be. Just know that. Just know that. Spurgeon said one time, "I find it better to think too little of a person as to think too much of a person. You're far less often disappointed." Everybody in your life is not what they pretend to be. Now, that doesn't mean that you ought to go around with a magnifying glass and look for what you can find wrong in their life. But just understand that. They're not Jesus. They might have him, but they're not him. And chances are, if you boat far enough with a person, they're going to disappoint you. So not everyone is what they're pretending to be. Verse number 31, the necessity of speaking plainly. The Apostle Paul tells the centurion and tells the soldiers that are there with him, these men that are trying to get this boat off, if they do that, you're in trouble. And I believe from that we can understand that it is our business what people do when they're a member of Bethel Baptist Church, because what they do is going to affect us. When you're in a ship with someone, Paul said, if they jump off, if they take that boat and leave, nobody's going to be saved. You're in trouble. You can't be saved if they leave. And so we need to understand that when people jump ship, it causes problems for everybody. Verse number 32, we find that in the midst of the storm, the soldiers begin to believe. They say, well, maybe we should have believed the Apostle Paul. We should have done that. And of course, they believe. One of the reasons they believed was because of Paul's consistency. You see, he was the same before he was arrested, after he was arrested, before he got on that leaky boat, while he was on that leaky boat, he's the same, consistency. Miss Judy and I visited with some folk yesterday, and they said, what's the best way for us to win our friends, be an example by our friends? I said, consistency and obedience to God. Because if you'll do those things, they'll see a difference in your life. You'll be different than the world will be, and it will cause attention to be brought to the Lord. And so we find that they were consistent. Verse number 33, in the Lord's services, there are some long nights. It's not always just to hop on the car and get off the next stop. It's not like that. And listen, that's the reason some people don't come to church, don't get involved in church, is because they know that sometimes there's some long hauls between breaks. But that's the way it is in the Christian life. And we need to understand that. Verse number 34, Paul's concern for those people that are in the storm with him, and those who would hurt him, he still concerned about them. I was thinking the other night again about the 4,000 people that the Lord Jesus fed, and those people were non-believers. Most of them were non-believers, and I'm sure the disciples wondered. Fact is, the disciples said, "Send them away," and Jesus said, "No, no, 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 no. We've got to take care of them." And so we need to understand that we can learn from the Apostle Paul's ministry that we have a responsibility even to people who don't like us. Now, sometimes that's hard. When you know in advance that people don't like you, they don't like you, they don't like what you stand for, they don't like where you go, where you won't go, they just don't like you. We have a responsibility to them. And once we give them the gospel, and we're responsible to do that because they fall under the definition of every creature, and once we give them the gospel, then we're responsible to live so that they can see that we believe what we told them. Because if we don't believe it, why should they? If they look at our lives and they interpret from what they see in our lives that we don't believe it, even if we do believe it, if they find evidence that we don't, why should they believe it? So the Apostle Paul, we find, is taking care of those people that would hurt him. Verse number 35, he's thankful in the presence of other people. And God mentions that the Apostle Paul took the bread and broke it, and in the presence of those people there, he began to pray. The importance of little things, timing, and that's such things as that. Verse number 33, our actions under pressure are a priceless commodity. We say, well, if I were there, I wouldn't. No, 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 no. We don't know what we would do until we're there. But when we're under pressure, how we respond, if it's right, it's a priceless commodity. The Bible says, then they were all of good cheer. Verse number 37, we sometimes and often forget about how many people are really involved, and how many people we really influence. Here the Apostle Paul was one of 276 people on this boat, this ship. And he influenced the entire group of them by his obedience and his consistency and his love for the Lord Jesus. In verse number 38, they'd eaten enough. And so the Bible says they began to throw the wheat overboard and to lighten the ship. And you know, sometimes, and sometimes we can be thankful that in that storm, we begin to put priorities on things. You'll never convince me that wheat wasn't a commercial value. It was a commercial commodity. I don't think it was just there for them to eat. I believe it was a commercial commodity. If it was just there for food, there wouldn't have been enough after they ate to worry about throwing over. God tells us they threw it over. And I believe God's telling us that we need to understand that some things, though they might be not sinful in themselves, but sometimes we need to put them aside. We need to cast them away in order to lighten the load so we can serve the Lord like we're supposed to. Now we get to verse number 39, and that's where we'll begin to read this morning. The Bible said, and when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves under the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoised up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into the place, to a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners. So there was plural, more than Paul was a prisoner here. Kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to the land. Let's note some things here. Verse number 39, we don't know exactly where we're at. If we will ask God, He will help us to discover where we're at. Have you ever been in a tizzy? You didn't know whether to do this or to do that. There's a major decision that has to be made. You know that things can't stay like they are, but you don't know, do I go this way? Do I go this way? That's where they were here. And the Bible says that they knew not the land. They were in a strange place. They couldn't identify the shoreline. They didn't know where the rocks were at. They didn't know anything about this thing. But they were allowed to discover. Sometimes we need to ask God to help us to discover. Lord, I don't know. If I go this path, I have no idea what's out there. If I take this one, who knows what I'll find? And Lord, when there's two choices to make, there's a 50% chance I'll make the wrong one unless you lead me. And so here in this place where they didn't know, God allowed them to discover. And I believe God will help us to discover if we're willing to discover. And I believe we ought to do that. And then notice what it says here also in verse number 39. They discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded if it were possible. So here are these hardened soldiers or these sailors, these men who had been in control of the direction of this ship large enough to have 276 people on it, which was probably very minuscule, probably a canoe compared to some of the people, some of the ships we have today, but a very large ship at that time. And these men who were in charge of this thing, they had no idea, but they knew this. They knew they had limitations to what they could do. And so the Bible says, if it's possible, they were going to do this, if it's possible. And we need to understand, too, we have limitations. There are some things we can't do. I remind you in John chapter 15, verse number 5, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. That next breath that you're getting ready to take, you're not taking that if Jesus says no. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Nothing. Now, I believe we ought to prepare the horse. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, and I believe that's covered in the way we bring up our kids, the way we educate our kids, the traditions we teach our kids, the biblical principles we teach our kids. All of those are part of our responsibility as parents and as leaders and so forth, but we need to understand that without Jesus, we can do nothing. And then we find also that in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And so while we can't do it without him, we can do anything with him. Of course, he's not going to participate in ungodly things. He's not going to participate even in godly things if it's not his will for your life. And so we need to talk to him often. We need to speak often to him, talk to him often, spend time with him, walk with him, talk with him, sit and visit with him. We need to do that. And, you know, somebody said one time, I can, with God's help, I can do anything. And somebody said, let's see you jump through that wall. And he said, well, without him, I can't. But if Jesus said jump, I'd expect him to make a hole. And I believe that's the difference between walking with the Lord and not walking with the Lord. If we're walking with him and he says jump, we can expect him to make a hole, make a way for it to come to pass. And then in verses 40 and 41, we find that sometimes our confidence in the Lord is tested to the max, and sometimes we even think that the Lord has been less than fair. Shame on us. Sometimes when you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Sometimes we get the idea that God has not been fair to us, but God is fair. And boy, anything this side of hell is fair. Anything this side of hell is grace and mercy and all of those things. Verse 42, the storm shows that most people are thinking of themselves. Here these soldiers, they say, kill the prisoners lest they escape. And of course they're afraid that maybe they'd swim in and take off on this island. They didn't know where they were at. They were in a strange place. They didn't know what was there, what peoples they would meet or anything. And so they said, kill them. And they wanted them killed because if they escaped, these soldiers were going to have to pay the penalty of these people that would escape. And so they're thinking of themselves. They're not thinking of the prisoners that they're supposed to be taking care of. They're thinking of themselves. As Christians, if we're not careful, we will think of ourselves ahead of other people. And we ought to be careful about that. Verse 43, the storm will show who is really with us. And of course, here we find that the Apostle Paul is protected by this centurion, this man who blew away Paul's advice when they set sail. He said no. He believed the owner of the ship rather than the thing said by the Apostle Paul. But now he's changed his mind. Now in hindsight, he sees, hey, this man knows what he's talking about. And so when they talk about killing the prisoners, the centurion willing to save Paul kept them from their purpose. And so we find that the storm shows who's really with you. In the midst of storms, when people have stepped up and said, you can count on me, by their actions, by their words, what a blessing. What a blessing. Sometimes you get into a storm and, well, people start leaving. And people will step up. The storms, listen, you can thank God for the storms because they have a way of purging. Friends list, support lists, they have a way of purging those things. And what is left after the purging is the nugget, the real deal. So we find that the storm will show who's really with you. And then because somebody's with you or because you are with someone else, you don't have to be a fool. This centurion, he stopped them from killing the Apostle Paul, kept them from their purpose, but at the same time he commanded that they which could swim could get themselves first into the sea and get to land. You guys get out, don't kill them. You guys get out there and when they come up, you capture them again. And so he's Paul's friend, but he's not going to be a fool because he's Paul's friend. And then in verse number 44, the Bible says, and the rest. Everybody has a story, don't they? We don't tell it often enough, but everybody has a story. And when they got back to civilization, I'm sure they talked about that piece of broken something or another, broken board of some size. That's what I used to get to the shore. Others took parts of the broken pieces of the ship. They all had a different testimony. We all have a different testimony. But if it doesn't point back to Jesus, it's not a good testimony. Jesus is where it's at. Jesus is everything. And then the Bible says, and they escaped all safe to the land, fulfilling a promise that God made, that not even a hair of their head would be harmed. They all made it back. Listen, this book, in the darkest of storms, is still the Word of God. His promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. We just need to dig them out. As if, you know, the Bible says that the Word of God is more precious than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Finer also than the honey and the honeycomb. Sweeter also than the honey and honeycomb. If we just mine in this book and mine out the promises and mine out the situations, you're in a tough time, you're in a storm, and if we just go mining in this book and find a situation that parallels our situation and see how God took care of that. Now, He might not take care of ours exactly the same way, but I promise you He's exactly the same God. He has just as much power today as He had then. We're going to find out in chapter number 28 that the Apostle Paul needed to get to this very special island because there were people there that needed the gospel of Christ. Aren't you glad that sometime or another God worked something out to where the gospel could come to your house, the gospel could come to your heart? That's what He's doing here. Without this storm, they would have bypassed this island and those people would have never heard the name of Jesus. I think maybe God knows what He's doing. And I think maybe He's proved that often enough that we ought to trust Him. Father, we do trust you today. We trusted you, Lord, for a good Sunday school class. I believe you gave us that. We're trusting you now for a good message from the Word of God and the preaching time, and we trust you for that too. Lord, would you bring yet more people in? And I pray, Father, they'd come in hungering and thirsting. I guess one area of people we didn't pray for are those people who are traveling. And I know there's a number of them, Lord, who have gone out of town to see family and friends. And we don't begrudge that, Lord. We just pray they'll be faithful to the house of God while they're gone. Help us, Lord, to be right so we can do right. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.